This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good morning to you. I'm Pastor Brian de Villiers. I'm so glad to be with you this morning. And I pray we're going to have a good time as we gather around the Word of God and as we study together. We've been doing the series on the life of Christ. And today we're going to take up the subject, the significance of his death. I want to read to you this morning as we start from John's Gospel, chapter 19, and I'm going to read from verse 16. And this is what it says to us. Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. And when they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, Do not write the King of the Jews. But he said, I am the King of the Jews. And Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then when the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from top in one piece. Then they said therefore among themselves, Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, as whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things. Now they stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and disciples whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. And then he said to his disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour the disciples took her to his own home. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. And now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with the sour wine, and put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, It is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. So we're speaking this morning about the significance of his death. And in this study, we are to consider what every Bible-loving, born-again, truly saved person is the most precious of all themes, the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we are to pay particular attention to the unique nature and to the special significance of his death. That he died is an historic fact. That there are many views, ideas, interpretations, and theories as to why he died, and yet how wonderful, explicit the scriptures are. We cannot pretend to comprehend fully the deep significance of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ upon Calvary's cross. But we can believe that he died for us, and we can rejoice in the blessings which are ours by virtue of the unique and saving death. One verse of one of the most popular hymns is helpful in this connection. I want you to think about these words. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. So this gives us clearly, it says he died that we might be forgiven. This gives us pardon for the past. He died to make us good. He gives us power for the present. that we might go at last to heaven. This gives us a prospect of the future. And I want us to read this morning from 1 Peter chapter 1, because it makes something very clear to us when we go to 1 Peter chapter 1, and this is what it says. 1 Peter chapter 1, and I read verse 17 and 20 to 21. And if you call on earth Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout time of your stay here on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed. Listen to that. You were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, for your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times to you. Do you get that? He was manifest in these last times to us. But we are not bought with silver and gold. We have been bought with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a deep theology, and yet it is so simple and clear that even a child can understand the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ died, shed his precious blood to save us all. We need to understand that. He came to redeem us. Yes, he came to save us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died to save us. You got that? While we were yet sinners, Christ died to save us. Isaiah 53 tells us, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned each one to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And you see, in these verses, these scriptures we find here in what we have read. I want to read again from 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. And this is what 1 Peter tells us again. And we read these verses this morning. 1 Peter chapter 3, and I want to read to you from verse 18, and this is what it says to us. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? That tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ. These scriptures tell us and summarize the teaching of the Word of God concerning the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's clear that his death was unique and that it was deeply significant. Notice the following: the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was predestined from all eternity. From all eternity, because it says he was foreordained. He would die to save us in what we have read. First Peter, we've just read already this morning, has told us we've not bought with corruptible things, silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's predicted in the Old Testament. It was predicted in the Old Testament. And we've read these verses many times. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 that says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise his head, but you shall bruise his heel. It's talking about Jesus coming. That's the very first promise given to us in the Old Testament, that Jesus would come. Yes, he would die on Calvary, and Satan thought he had the victory. He had only bruised his heel, but Jesus had crushed his head. That's what we learn from that. The uniqueness of it predicted in the Old Testament. We've got the prediction. And it also pictured the picture of Christ when we see Abraham offering his son, Isaac, his only son. He gives him, but then God provides provision. He doesn't have to kill his son Isaac. He finds a ram in the thicket. Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. It was the gospel was preached to him there. in giving understanding, prominent in the Gospels. The Gospels tell us about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came. And predominant in the epistles tell us the same. What does the book of Romans tell us? Romans chapter 5 and verse 6 tells us these tremendous words. Romans 5 and verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. You got that? Christ dies for the ungodly. The principal theme of heaven is to the Lamb who was slain. The Lamb that was slain is seated on the throne, and the song of the ages will be unto Jesus, who died and redeemed us by his precious blood. But let us ask the all-important question, why did the Lord Jesus die? This must be answered negatively and positively. Negatively, he did not die a suicide's death. Can I make that clear? Some people say it was a suicide's death. No, that's not true. He didn't die. He did not die of old age, accident, or disease. He didn't die of that. He gave his life freely for us. He did not die a political hero. He did not die that. The man that was the political man, Barabbas, was set free, and Jesus took our place on the cross of Calvary. He did not simply die as an example for us. Not at all. That is not given to us at all. And he did not die simply as a martyr. No, Stephen was a martyr. He was stoned to death. He did not simply die to show us God's love, because God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. That's what we are told. But God commends his love towards us. While we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died to save us. Romans 5 verse 6. And he did not die because he was a criminal. No, he was not a criminal. The criminal was Barabbas. Positively, here are five very important truths that you and I need to understand this morning. We need to understand of the Savior's death. Number one, the Lord Jesus came into the world to die. You've got that? He came into the world to die. His death was a necessity. And why do I say that? Because I want to turn to the book of Hebrews. And this is what Hebrews tells me. Hebrews chapter 9. And I read from verse 22. It says, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sins. You got that? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. Moreover, he knows that he had come to die. He told them, I was born to die. And we are told it over again. He tells his disciples, he will go to Jerusalem and he will die. The scriptures make it quite clear. He was not, as has been blasphemously suggested, surprised and disappointed when he found he must die. No, that's not the truth. It was planned in eternity. If the world sinned, because God gave man choice, and if man should rebel, and man should choose to rebel against Almighty God, there was a plan, the plan of salvation that was found in Jesus Christ. No, we mustn't believe that he had to die. He just died. He voluntarily laid down his life. No one takes my life. I lay it down that I might take it up again for us, because it was the will of the Father that he should do so, because he loved us so much. And we must remember that. So number one, the Lord Jesus came into the world to die. The Lord Jesus died willingly, voluntarily, as the sinless one. There was no cause of death of himself. He gave his life. He laid it down. I've said that already. He laid it down that he might take it up, because the Father loved us so much. Number three, the Lord Jesus died as a sacrifice, as the sin bearer, as a sin offering to put away sin. How clear the scriptures are. And we need to just look at them again from the Old Testament. I want to turn back this morning to the Old Testament. And I want to read what it tells us in the book of Isaiah. This is what we're told. And it's found most of all in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. This is what we are told. Isaiah 53. Let's read the account here in what it tells us. Isaiah 53, and I read from verse 5. It says this to us. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are all healed. There we are told that he died for us. Yes, he took our place. He died instead of us. He took our place. He bore our punishment that was due to us. He took our place. He was the ransom. That's what the Bible says. Thus we see why God has not dealt with us after our sins. God doesn't deal with us because he's dealt with Jesus. Jesus bore our sins in his body and he was nailed to the cross. He paid the price for every sin that men and women, young people would commit. He has fully, finally, justly dealt with our sin and our sins in the person and through the sacrificial death of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, upon the cross of Calvary. He paid the price for our sin. He was our substitute. He was our ransom. He knew how wicked man had been. He knew that God must punish sin. And so out of pity, Jesus said, I'll bear the punishment instead. Do you get that this morning? Jesus took our punishment. Jesus took our place at Calvary's cross. So the innocent victim took the place of the guilty sinner and bore away his sins in his body on the tree. That's what 1 Peter tells. He bore in himself, in his body. It is by believing this great fact, believing this great fact and accepting the loving Savior, that I am saved and able to say he loved me and he gave himself for me. Let us turn quickly, and I want to read these scriptures just to reinforce what I have said to you this morning. I read from Acts, and this is what it tells me. Acts chapter 16, here we have it. Acts 16, and I want to read verses 30 and 31. And he brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved and your household. Believe on the Lord according to the Savior. We must believe. As many, what does it say in John 1:12? As many as received him, as many. You see, if I give you a gift, and as long as I hold the gift, it's still mine. But once you take the gift I'm giving, it becomes a present possession. The present I'm giving you, the gift I'm giving you, is becoming a present possession. And then I can say, it's mine, I'm saved. And you see, we need to understand that. That's what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross of Calvary. And we need to understand that fully. That's why we read again from Galatians. Galatians, it tells me, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says this. Tremendous verse of scripture. I've been crucified with Christ. You've been crucified. I've been crucified. It's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There we have it. And the last point this morning, the death of the Lord Jesus was victorious at Calvary. He provided salvation for all mankind. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 1 chapter 2 and verse 2, it tells us, it says, and I want to read it to you because I believe it makes things so clear to us. John chapter 2, and verse 1 and 2. My little children, these things I write to you, that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. He is the mercy seat for our sins. And not for ours only, but for also for the whole world. He's made atonement for all who will believe in it. That's what it tells us in 1 John. You see, he's death. He's suffering for all. But it is the efficient only for those who believe it. It becomes efficient only for those who believe. His death was victorious in that he rose again from the dead and is alive forevermore, therefore demonstrated that all the claims of divine justice have been met by his death, and the salvation has been procured for all who would believe in him. Let us go back to John's Gospel. There's just one more verse of Scripture I want to share with you this morning, and I believe it's so important for us to share this. John's Gospel, chapter 9, and this is what it tells me in verse 25. John's Gospel, chapter 9, and verse 25. Here we are. This is what it says to us. He answered and said, "Whether he's a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." I was blind, but now I see. When you come to salvation, you were blind. Then you are made to see. Let me ask you this morning as I close. Do you believe? Can you say it is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me? And when we believe that and we take that seriously, then we ask him to come into our life, to be the Lord and the Savior of our lives. And we want to love him and to serve him for the rest of our lives. If you've never asked Jesus to come into your life this morning, I want to ask you this morning to say yes to Jesus. Say, "Jesus, I realize that you died for me. You laid down your life that I might have everlasting life. I accept what you've done for me. I believe that you're the divine Son of God." Will you do that now as I pray this prayer? Father in heaven, just bless people today who've listened to the word about the death of Jesus on the cross of Calvary once for all. And if we believe in what your Son has done for us and we receive him into our lives as our own personal Savior, then we can know that we're forgiven, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we're going to heaven when we die. And so we say, "Lord Jesus, this morning I ask you to come into my life, to be my Lord, to be my Savior. Thank you for doing that. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you rose again. I believe you want to give me the power of the Holy Spirit to live for you day by day. I accept all that in Jesus' name. Amen." If you made that decision this morning, why don't you phone into Radio K Pulpit and let them know? 021-180-5744. 021-180-5744. Or you can contact me, Pastor Brian, between Mondays and Thursdays, 9 to 12, at 021-552-4096. 021-552-4096. It's been so good to be with you this morning. I trust you will have today a very blessed day. God bless you and go with you today. Amen.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.